Good morning. It's Saturday, 6th of February. Our first reading for the day is Exodus 13 and 14. I'm going to read from Brother Harry Tennant again. I read. Moses led the company, as he had led the sheep in the wilderness, forward towards Succoth, and seemingly on a course that would pass north of the Red Sea. They pitched camp at Etham, at the command of Moses and of the cloud, for the cloud guiding them by day had already appeared, and they pitched at night under the pillar of fire. Moses was moving in faith. There is no indication that the Lord had revealed to him the path the nation would soon take. On the morrow, the Lord spoke to his servant. There must have been some consternation in the minds of the Israelites when Moses led them back along the west side, the Egyptian side of the Red Sea. This was the moment of testing. Moses knew the immediate purpose of the Lord God. The spies from Egypt were already seeking their lost slaves. Perhaps they had seen them moving northward and reported that they would pass north of the Red Sea, perhaps making for the desert to the south of Palestine. But now the report was different. Israel were moving southwards, placing themselves between Egypt and the sea. Pharaoh, despite the great lessons of the plagues, hastened to gather his chariots and to move out in pursuit of the firstborn of God. 600 chariots were harnessed, and Pharaoh himself rode with them. 600,000, beside women and children, moved slowly to a point near the sea where the mountains appeared on either side. The pillar of cloud led them on. What had happened to Moses and to his God? Surely this was mass suicide. There was no escape. Suddenly, a cry of terror swept over the people, like the cry of the hunted beast when finally trapped by his pursuers. Moses would hear it as the noise of a mighty sea beating against the walls of his personal faith. The Egyptians had appeared, first like the faintest clouds of dust upon the evening horizon, and now like a broadening cloud hastening toward Israel. The frightened people must have receded like sheep before their enemies. The voice of the people, expressed no doubt through their leaders, broke upon Moses and Aaron in the first of many waves of murmuring. Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Thanklessly, they recalled their bondage and compared it favourably with the impending destruction. Their trust in Moses shrivelled like Jonah's gourd with the worm of discontent at its root. Moses rose above them, imperturbable, and with the authority begotten of revelation. Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. And, in confirmation of these becalming words, the great pillar of fire moved behind them in the gathering darkness, casting a radiant glow of comfort and assurance over Israel, and preserving a pitch blackness toward the Egyptians. This was not all. The Lord's voice urged Moses to move onward with the people. The lone hand which had stretched out over Egypt with such devastating results now reached forth over the sea. The wind arose, and a pathway, a highway for our God, appeared amid the firelit waters. Surely, at least some of the Israelites must have pondered in their hearts, as men did later of the greater than Moses. What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Thank you for listening.